Good morning. Thank you for your welcome. It's great to be here. I had a lovely drive down from Edinburgh this morning, where I live. It's a long time since I've been in Peebles, a very long time, but it's lovely to have an opportunity to come back. I'm a volunteer speaker for Tear Fund, having been involved with the organisation for the best part of 30 years in one way or another, as a supporter and as a team member. But I'm currently a volunteer speaker, and when I'm not doing that, my day job the rest of the time is that I run a community cafe in Edinburgh. So I was very interested in Vicky's Tea Room. Sadly, I can't stay around till 3 o'clock to go to Vicky's Tea Room, but if you're ever in Edinburgh and you want to know a really lovely wee community cafe to come to, see me afterwards and I'll give you all the details you need. Last year, Tear Fund celebrated a very significant anniversary. Do any of you know what it was? Bit of a pop quiz to see if you're awake. No? I gave you a clue when I said I'd been involved with them for more than 30 years, and I know that's hard to believe because I started when I was a child, but Tear Fund actually celebrated its 50th anniversary last year, 50 years. And some of you may know a bit about Tear Fund, so I've supported Tear Fund over the years, but I am going to assume that most of you might not know very much, and so I'm going to give you a bit of history because I think that might be useful. Am I coming and going on the sound? Do we need a battery? Excuse me. That's okay. You carry on and I'll carry on. And televisions were not the big beasties that we know now. Thank you. Televisions were black and white, if you had one at all. A very small screen. It probably took about 5 minutes to warm up. But they were starting to appear in more and more living rooms 50 years ago. And in 1968... people were absolutely shocked and horrified to see on the screens in their living rooms pictures of starving children. And these children were starving because of the consequences of a civil war that was happening in Nigeria. And Christians who saw this were so outraged that they started to write letters to the Evangelical Alliance, and they started to send checks to the Evangelical Alliance offices, saying, "This is wrong. Do something. Please do something." And from that, Tear Fund was born. Tear Fund has nothing to do with tears, although sometimes when you see the kind of situations that they go into, it does make me want to shed tears. But Tear Fund was originally the Evangelical Alliance Relief Fund. There you go. Not a lot of people know that. So that's where it came from. They're now working in more than 50 countries around the world, and they've had a fantastic impact over that time. The number of people living in extreme poverty, the very worst kind of poverty, on less than $2 a day, has actually decreased remarkably over the last 20, 25 years, not just through Tear Fund, there's lots of agencies working to bring that about. But we are making a difference, and we in Tear Fund really believe the eradication of that most extreme poverty is possible in our lifetimes if churches and countries and governments get their act together. So don't lose hope. We are making a difference. Tear Fund does two kinds of things mainly. They're a relief and development agency. And sometimes those words just sound like jargon. So relief is when there's some kind of disaster. It might be a natural disaster. We've seen flooding. We've seen earthquakes. There were tsunamis. It might be a man-made disaster, some kind of war, when people just have their lives torn apart and they're left with nothing, literally with nothing, the clothes that they stand up in. So Tear Fund goes in and does relief. They help people in those situations with the most basic essentials. But the biggest part of their work is that other word, development. And that's the kind of work that's long-term. That's the kind of work that goes on to help people in the poorest countries in the world lift themselves out of poverty, to help them realise that they have resources, and to help them learn how to use them, and to support them to live in a way that gives them hope for the future and have a sustainable life. And it's some of that development that I want to talk to you today, just one of the areas of focus about development. And it's this. It's rubbish. Tear Fund also does rubbish. As a society, we are much more rubbish aware than we were a few years ago, aren't we? Very few of us just have one bin outside. When I was a kid, we had one stainless steel bin with a lid or a tin bin. Now you've probably got 2, 3, 4, 5 compost bins, garden bins, recycling for glass, recycling for paper, plastic, and landfill. Lots of bins. And the purpose of all these bins is not just to make it hard to get in your front door, which it can be sometimes, but so that we just reduce the amount that we send to landfill as a society. And it's all come from a recognition that hiding our rubbish out of sight and putting it underground in landfill doesn't actually make it go away. Now, at this point, I want to try and encourage a wee bit of audience participation, see if you're still with me. I'd like to invite you to join me in some collective imagining. Are you up for that? Some collective imagining. I see some nodding heads. Great. So I want you to imagine a world where there's no recycling and compost bins, and there's not even any general waste bins for landfill. Not because there isn't any waste, but actually because nobody's going to take it away anyway. So rubbish literally gathers round your feet until you get so fed up you might decide to take it to the rubbish dump. But unfortunately, the rubbish dump is literally just that. It's a place for people to dump the rubbish. Nobody's going to sort it. Nobody's going to clean it. Nobody's even going to bury it under the ground. It's just going to pile up and pile up, mounds and mounds of rubbish. But sadly, for people in many parts of the world, they don't have to go on this imagination journey because that is their reality. Rubbish dumps are not far from people's houses. They're literally at their back door. And I've seen it for myself. And I'm going to talk more to you about that in a wee moment. But first of all, I think we'll have a scripture reading. And I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 6 in the New Testament. You'll be able to follow it on the screen there or in your own Bibles if you have them. This reading is from a very well-known section of the Bible, known as the Sermon on the Mount. And each of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, have a slightly different focus and flavour according to the authors. And Matthew was very much a teacher. So it's maybe not surprising that we find this series of teaching in Matthew's Gospel. So let's read this through. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honoured by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It's one of the most famous passages in Scripture, probably, and many people have it memorized, usually known as the Lord's Prayer, but actually it's Jesus telling us it should be our prayer. But it's so familiar, isn't it, that sometimes it's easy to say it or to hear it without really thinking about what the words mean, because it's just become a habit. For example, that statement, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," an incredibly powerful statement, but what does it really mean? Well, throughout the Bible, heaven is the term normally used to describe the place where God, creator of heaven and earth, resides. The only exception to that, really, was the time when Jesus was resident here with us on earth as God incarnate. And the time between his birth, when he lived amongst us, and then died for our sins and was resurrected, was a period that transformed all of history. And we're remembering that period right now, aren't we, in the lead up to Easter. This is Palm Sunday. But Jesus' actions, particularly his death on the cross and his resurrection, allowed humanity's relationship with God to be restored. And it enables us to have a hope way beyond our own lifetime. Jesus' resurrection gives us the hope of our own resurrection. Now, in the same way that Jesus' life on earth had a revolutionary impact, when we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we are asking God for an equally transformative event. Now, it is clear, as we look around, the earth as it is now is not heaven, and it is not as God intended. But our citizenship is in heaven, Hebrews tells us that, a place defined by the very character of God. Revelation, I see your evening Bible study during the week is going to be on Revelation. Revelation 21 tells us it's a place where there will be no longer any death, mourning, crying, or pain. It's a place where his will is done, where we can find his justice, his joy, and his peace. Now, when we look around, we tend to see injustice rather than the righteous justice of God in our world. We see pain, we see hurt more than we see joy often. And we see political, social, and personal unrest rather than the peace that comes from the Prince of Peace. Next slide. Romans chapter 8 describes creation as groaning and suffering, having been subjected to the bondage of decay. And that's because we live in what is a broken world, where our disobedience has not only had a consequence in our relationship with God, but human disobedience has damaged all creation. There are too many on this earth who know very well what it means to live in a decaying world, because they see it every day outside their doors, in the slums around the major cities, where they live among the uncollected rubbish of their neighbourhood. Can you imagine the risks associated with this? Risks of disease, risks of injury, risks from vermin, rats, and every day they're walking through that rubbish to get in and out of their homes. How do you think that must make them feel? Worldwide, somewhere between 1 and 2 billion people live in extreme poverty, that figure of less than $2 a day. And one of the things that affects them is there's just no appropriate collection and disposal of waste. It's a desperate problem. One such person is Rubina, lady on the right. I was going to say left. Right of that picture. Rubina lives in Islamabad in Pakistan. And as you came in this morning, you were probably given a wee card, a tear fund card, and that's Rubina's picture on the front of that card. She lives in a slum. And despite living in a slum surrounded by rubbish, she works really hard to keep her home as clean as she can. But nevertheless, the streets full of rubbish near where she lives is making her family sick. I'm going to show you a wee film about Rubina.
There we go. Pakistan has a huge waste management problem. Even the waste that is collected, most of it is dumped in open plots, or there's no proper dumping place. And majority of this waste, it gets burnt, emitting pollutions in the air that are damaging to the health of people.
When I came back from my job one day, he was sitting outside, weeping. He was in a lot of pain and his lips were swollen. I took him immediately to the hospital. I can't tell you how much his face was burnt. I used to weep because I already had a disabled child and was frightened for the second child. He has had fits since he was 1 year old. After having many fits, he became severely ill. He feels pain because of the smoke, and struggles with his breathing. I take him to the hospital where he has oxygen. Otherwise, I boil water and the steam helps him. The main problem here is the rubbish. A lady came to us and told us about the South Mohol project to clean the streets, so that there may be no diseases and problems for the children.
We are hoping that we will provide clean environment and they will enjoy fullness of their life just because of South Mohol project.
Waste is treasure, it's not waste, you know. We can change lives, we can reduce poverty by dealing with the waste that is scattered around this country.
Next slide, please. So as you can see, Rubina's eldest son, Javed, with a wonderful smile, lives with a disability. He needs to be carried everywhere. And his disability also means he has a very hard time breathing. The toxic fumes in the air around their slum just make life very hard for him. And when it gets really bad, Rubina takes him to the hospital when she can afford it. And pays with her hard-earned money from her three jobs that she works to get him some oxygen to ease his symptoms, even for a short time. Her youngest one, little Tarek, when he was three, he picked up some harmful waste from the street, we don't know what it was, and it burnt his face, something corrosive that burnt his face so badly, it took 2 months to get better. It still upsets Rubina, understandably. As she remembers Tarek crying with pain. It's just heartbreaking, isn't it? And I'm sorry to make you sad as you see these things this morning. But that is the reality of life for Rubina and many other families like hers in Pakistan. But knowing that this is not how God intended the world to be, and motivated by the biblical command to love our neighbour, a local organisation called the PAC Mission Society, partnering along with Tear Fund, has started working in Rubina's community to sort out the rubbish in their lives. Not just to find a way to collect it so that it's no longer lying around the streets and polluting the area and clogging the waterways, but actually to recycle it, to treat it as a resource, something that's useful. And they're setting up recycling hubs. And they're starting to make a massive difference to families like Rubina's in Pakistan and in other countries around the world where poverty and rubbish is just a toxic combination. It's biblically inspired, amazing work that cleans up the environment, reduces the amount of plastic that gets into the oceans, reduces the amount of greenhouse gases that get into the atmosphere from burning rubbish, and it improves the health of everyone in the community as they breathe cleaner air and they have much less risk of disease and injury. In fact, instead of it being a problem, the rubbish is starting to become a way to create jobs in collection and recycling. Tear Fund longs to give people like Rubina a foretaste of heaven. But when you live amongst rubbish like that, that might seem completely unimaginable. Well, today I want to invite you to help make the unimaginable happen by supporting work like this in Pakistan. And by joining with us in Tear Fund in following Jesus where the need is greatest. This can be done through prayer, and it can be done if you feel led, if you feel God speaking to you today, through signing up to give regularly to Tear Fund. There is an absolutely amazing opportunity right now, because this month and up until the 17th of May, the UK government has agreed to double any gifts given to Tear Fund for these projects up to the value of $3 million. Now that slide says $2 million, but actually it's subsequently been increased to $3 million, which is absolutely wonderful. I suspect none of us enjoy paying our taxes. I don't particularly. Apologies if anyone works for the Inland Revenue. But it certainly makes it less painful for me when I know that some of it ends up with Tier Fund, who are going to use it to help people like Robina. If you take another wee look at that card that you got on your way in, this is how to sign up if you feel able to give regularly to Tier Fund. Next slide. I've got some examples of what your gift could do. The little card suggests £12 a month, but you don't have to give £12 a month. You can give whatever you feel able to if you feel led to give at all. And there are some examples of what small gifts can do in the hands of Tier Fund. You know, our God took, when he was here on earth as Jesus, he took loaves and fishes and fed 5,000 people. He can do a lot with a little. And right now the UK government is helping that by doubling everything that we give, and that is an amazing opportunity. God will bless and use whatever you can give. You'll help to transform lives. You'll help these waste management projects in the Pakistan slums, and you'll help provide employment for local people so that they can lift themselves out of poverty. Tier Fund's not about charity. They are a charity, but it's not about just giving money and giving money and giving money. It's about helping people to gain the ability to sustain themselves, to give them self-respect, to give them pride in their own achievements, to give them work, to give them hope, and to give them a future. Your donation, if you make a donation, will go to families all over the world where the need is greatest. Now, I would love to go home today with some of these cards filled in. If you want to do that, come and speak to me at the end and hand in your completed card to me. I've got a bunch of pens if you don't have a pen. If you've got any questions, I'll happily answer them. If you don't have your bank details, don't worry. Just fill in your phone number and one of my lovely Tier Fund colleagues will give you a ring next week. And I'm delighted to be able to say that if you do sign up to give, however much, however little, I have a gift to offer you. So to celebrate Tier Fund's 50th anniversary, they commissioned a bunch of very talented Scottish musicians to write songs and to record songs. The Sound of Liberty is this CD that's been made to celebrate the 50th Jubilee. And the musicians on there are first class. I've heard them, I've met them, they're wonderful. So I'd be delighted to give you one of those as a gift and a thank you. But whatever you do, will you pray? You may not feel able to give, but we can all pray. And I pray that together we will see Robina's prayers answered and that her precious children will live a good and better life than the one that she's had. Will you join me in praying together? Almighty Father, we pray for all those who have rubbish in their lives, whether that's physical rubbish, emotional rubbish, or spiritual rubbish. We pray for those such as Robina, where rubbish is a daily reality, who are at risk of ill health and disease and harm from toxic fumes. Lord, release them from their rubbish, we pray. For those around our world who suffer from unseen rubbish, those trapped in addiction or damaging relationships or pain, Lord, release them from their rubbish, we pray. For those around our world who are in rubbish situations through conflict, natural disaster or tragedy, or who may suffer with no food or lack of security, Lord, release them from their rubbish, we pray. For our family and friends who have rubbish in their lives, known or unknown to us, Lord, release them from their rubbish, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much. I'll be hanging around at the end. Please do come and speak to me if you'd like to know any more.